of Jaime's granddaughter, and we wish their oven a refuah shlema.
Amen.
Okay. As Erez noted, we are on Daf Yud Aleph on the Beis, and we are about 8 lines from the bottom with the 2 dots. The Gemara quotes, so good morning everyone, good morning. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah, which was on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, had 2 requirements in order for something to be considered kosher for schach. One requirement was, it has to be, for, well, the Mishnah says, Zeh HaKlal, Kol Shu Mekabel Tuma, Ve'ein Gidulo Mina Aretz, Ein Mesachachin Bo. If something is Mekabel Tuma, it's like a kli or for some other reason Mekabel Tuma, it is not kosher for schach. And if it's ein gidulo mina aretz, it doesn't grow from the ground. Schach has to be natural. It has to be ein mekabel tuma, ein mesachim bo. V'chol davar she ein mekabel tuma, if it's ein mekabel tuma, v'gidulo mina aretz, and it grows from the ground, that's what we do schach with. And that's why we use palm branches, we use bamboo, we use, all those different types of things. But it has to be natural, and it has to be ein mekabel tuma. So the Gemara says, how do we know this? These requirements. So Amar Reish Lakish says Reish Lakish. Amar Kra, the pasuk says the Eid Ya'aleh Min Ha'aretz. This pasuk is the Eid Ya'aleh Min Ha'aretz. V'hishke is Kol Pnei Ha'adama. That a cloud emerged or arose from the ground, and that cloud ultimately rained or provided rain for the entire world. The Eid Ya'aleh Min Ha'aretz. The cloud comes up from the ground. Ma'ed dover she'enu mekabel tuma, just like a cloud, is something that is not mekabel tuma. There's no substance to it. There's no mamashas to it. So, v'gidula mina aretz, and it originates from the ground, as the pasuk says. Af sukkah, so to a sukkah, should also be something that is dover she'enu mekabel tuma. V'gidula mina aretz, we know the essence of the sukkah is, of course, the schach, as we saw in Rashi and Daf Beis Amud Aleph. And so therefore, the sukkah as well should have that purpose. So the Gemara says, that's an interesting analogy. But what if rain clouds, or what do clouds in general, have to do with sukkahs? We're trying to figure out what schach is supposed to come from. So the Gemara says, Hinich leman de'omar anani hakavod. So I understand, according to the man de'omar who says, that when the Torah says, ki basukkah so shafti es b'nei Yisrael leman yeidu dorasechem, why do we have sukkahs? It's this week's parsha. Right? So all the generations will know, Kiba Sukkos O Shafti Es B'nei Yisrael. But Derech B'tzeischem in Mitzrayim. Then in Sukkos I put the Jewish people when they left Mitzrayim. So one opinion is, what are those Sukkos? One opinion is, that refers to the Anone Akavo, the cloud of protection that surrounded and protected the Jewish people. So if that is the purpose of Sukkos, and that's what we remember, then it makes sense that there's a parallel source to the concept of a cloud, and since that source anchors clouds as ultimately emerging from the ground, so therefore sukkah also, schach also has to come from the ground. But according to the Manda Omar, who says that it's not about Anani HaKavon, it's about sukkos mamish, says Rashi, this was a matter of practical reality. They traveled in the desert. The desert was hot, and they needed protection. They needed shelter and shade. And so they built temporary huts that they could easily deconstruct and bring with them from place to place. So that's what we're trying to remember. But if that's the truth, then what are you going to say? Ditanya, and the Gemara quotes the source of this machlokas. Because we know we have a machlokas. Ki basukos hashafti es b'nei Yisrael. Anane akobod hayu. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Right, this refers to the Anani Akavod. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Sukkos Mamish, that it actually refers to Sukkos themselves, to Sukkos Mamish. What's interesting is, in the Medrash, when the Medrash quotes this, Machlokes, the Medrash actually flips the Shitos. And as Rabbi Akiva saying, it's Anani Akavod, and Rabbi Eliezer saying, it's Sukkos Mamish. And that led, I remember when we learned Sukkah with Rav Rosenzweig, so Rav Rosenzweig believed that this wasn't exactly a machlokas of exclusive opinion. That each one was focusing on a certain emphasis, But each one believed that there was a interface between the two, which is what? In other words, what's the whole purpose of the Chag of Sukkos? The whole purpose of the Chag of Sukkos is to leave the homes that we construct, that b'kochi b'otzem yadi, with our own power, ability, and capacity to provide us shelter and provide us safety and security. And we go out into the vulnerability of the world, expose ourselves to the elements, and we construct these more flimsy points of protection. And we know, as we've already seen in Maseches Sukkah, that there are limitations on what could be used as schach, dafka for this reason. It can't be construction material. It can't be something that has permanence to it. And the reason for that, why do we construct these things? To demonstrate that even when we construct something practical, at the end of the day, its protection is ultimately only effective because of the Hashkachas Hashem. So the Anonei HaKavod is an extreme expression of Hashkachas Hashem, because it's literally a cloud of protective glory. And the Sukkos Mamish are an extreme expression of human initiative in providing protection. The goal of Sukkos is Leman Yedu. It's not just to realize that when Hashem does a miracle, he protects you, or that when you practically set something up, it's historically significant. The point of Sukkos is to internalize the notion that even the Sukkos Mamish are really part of Anonei HaKavod. That everything that we do proactively and practically in order to construct our environments of protection ultimately only come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so therefore, that's the machlokas. But still, we're left with these two opinions. And the Gemara says, Hinichala Rabbi Eliezer, I understand according to Rabbi Eliezer, who said the reason was Anani HaKavod, that the source is Eid Yala Mina Aretz, because that also refers to a cloud. Ela Rabbi Akiva, but according to Rabbi Akiva, who says the whole purpose of Sukkos is Sukkos Mamish, Ma'ikala Meimar, how are you going to understand the source for this din? So the Gemara says, Ki Asa Rav Dimi Am Rav Yochanan Am Akra, Rav Dimi said in the name of Rav Yochanan, the Pasuk says, Chag HaSukkos Tase Lecha, that the Chag of Sukkos you should make for yourself. Shivas Yamin Ba'asbecha Migarncho Miyikvecha, that's the Pasuk. Makish Sukkah Lechagiga, so says the Gemara, that it comes to compare the mitzvah of Sukkah to the Korban Chagiga. Ma Chagiga, Dover Sheni Mekabel Tumah V'Gidula Mina Aretz, just like the Korban Chagiga. Is something that's not Mekabel Tumah, you offer it on the Mizbeach. And it's Gidula Mina Aretz. What does that mean? It's Gidula Mina Aretz. It's an animal. So says Rashi, Ki Chagiga, Kol Behem Al Rabbi Yochanan Gidula Karkahein. According to Rabbi Yochanan, all animals have the status of Gidula Karka. They have the status of vegetation. Shemin Akarka Gidilim Minizonin. Because they nourish from the ground. Without what comes from the ground, they would not be able to exist. So what are examples of animals that do not have the status of Gedulei Karka? And this is nafkaminas in different areas of Halacha and Tumah V'Tahara and other areas. Dogim, fish, are not Gedulei Karka. They don't eat from the ground. Melach, ukimayin, vipitrios, lav Gedulei Karkaninu, or types of mushrooms that don't nourish from the ground. Right, the Gabi Meiser, Karina Lalu Behemis Kedulei Karka, and that's why again it has implications in terms of Trumas Vemaisros and Asata Kesef. That's the din. So this Korban Chagiga is Gedula Mina Aretz, it nourishes from the ground. It's Eina Mekabel Tumah. So to the Schach has to be Gedulei Karka and Eina Mekabel Tumah. So Afa Sukka Davish Eina Mekabel Tumah Gedulei Mina Aretz. So the Gemara says, yeah, but once you start playing around with that comparison. Just because the Torah juxtaposed these mitzvos and the Torah introduces this comparison, but there are other more substantive connections that would, in theory, carry over to Sukkah as well. Imach Chagiga Balei Chaim, Av Sukkah Nami Balei Chaim. Chagiga is also a living animal. So your sechach should also be made of a living animal, animal skin, whatever you should put up there to make sure. So Kihasa Rabbi Amar Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara abandons this approach. And when Rabin came, he said the name of Rav Yochanan, Amar Kra, Be'aspecha migarncha umiyikvecha. So the Torah says, it's the same pasuk as before, Chag HaSukkos Taselach, Shivas Yamim, you should spend 7 days with Sukkos. Be'aspecha, when does Sukkos happen? When you gather up, migarncha umiyikvecha, from your goren, from your threshing floor, and from your yikvecha, from your wine presses, right? Bipso, what does that mean? What are you gathering up? What are you gathering up? Bipsoles garin v'yekav akasa medaber. The Torah is telling you that what happens, you finish the threshing, you finish the wine pressing, so you have your wine and you have your grain, but you have a lot that's left over. You have all the husks and all the shells and all the seeds or whatever that came out that's on the threshing floor. And in the wine vat, you have all the vine pieces, the refuse, the different stuff. So the way the Torah describes this holiday is it's not just a holiday where you squeeze out your wine and grab your kernels of wheat, but it's where you gather up the totality of these items. These items include this psolis garin v'yekav akasa medaber. So it's talking about psolis garin v'yekav. So ve'ema goren atzmo. So v'yekav atzmo. So says the Gemara. You know, maybe is that what it's talking about? Maybe it's talking about actually the actual goren or the actual wine. Some Rabbi Zera Yaakov Ksiv. It says Yaakov Kanvi Eshelis Achichbo. You can't, Demashma says Rashi, La'acha Shanasa Yayin. We're talking about after it became wine, and you're not going to be able to put wine on your schach. That's not practical. So therefore, excuse me, it must be that these are the items you're putting on. And again, these are items that are Dehavale Dover Makabel Tomoha Ochel. I'm sorry. So says the Gemara. So Amar Rabbi Zera Yaakov Ksiv Kan V'yashal Esachich Bo. So Maskif La Rabbi Yirmiya V'emayayin Karush. Maybe the pasuk's telling you should use congealed wine. Habami Shneer that came from this place Shneer. Shu Domali Igulei Dvela, which had some sort of Igulei. It was similar to like pressed figs, some sort of congealed wine substance that wasn't the refuse of the wine, but wasn't the actual wine itself. So maybe that's what the Torah is telling you, and therefore it's not giving you an indicator that you could go ahead and use something that's Eina Makabel Tuma and Davar Gidulo Mina Aretz. So Amar Rabbi Zera, Ha Milsa Hava Biyadan. We had a pshat for us or Rav Yirmiya Vishadu Beinarga, and Rav Yirmiya came and he threw an axe into it. He messed up the whole pshat. Says Rashi, Katsa Begarzen, right? Heshiv Tshuva Nitzchis. He asked a good question. He gave a Ravashi Amar mi Garncha velo Garin Atzmo mi Yikvecha velo Yekev Atzmo. It's coming to tell you, says Rashi, Shapir Mashma Psolis. It's coming to tell you for sure. It's talking about the psolis that came out of these things because it says, as you gather mi Garncha Mashma, it's coming to be Mashma. It's coming to imply that she'ata osvo v'not lo min ha-gorin, that you gather it and pick it up out of the gorin. V'goren u'a ochel. U'mashata osef, so the gorin is the ochel itself, is what you produce, and that you gather is the psolis. Rabbi Chizda, so that's that answer. That's that answer, and that's how we know that it has to be something gedulo min ha-aretz, so because of the time that you pick up all these things, they're gedulam in ha'aretz, they ain't a makabel tuma, because they're not really food, and therefore they are, that tells you could use these things for schach, and therefore you know that you could use anything that's gedulam in ha'aretz, but not makabel tuma for schach. Rav Chizda Amar Mehacha, Rav Chizda says, no, we learn it from here. Se'u ha'har, this is a pasuk in Nehemiah, Rashi says it's in Ezra. They're not sure. At some point, Ezra and Nehemiah may have been one sefer. Pasukuba sefer Ezra, Rashi says.
It seems that as if there's already an accepted tradition, and we're looking for an asmata, as opposed to the other way around.
A makar.
We're looking for, exactly.
Yeah. Look, Torah Shebaal Peh works in both directions, as we know, right? Sometimes Torah Shebaal Peh or Midrashi Halacha are extrapolating Dine Doraisa from a source, and in those cases they are activating the exegetical tools that are given to them that we say at the end of right Rabbi Shmuel, and there are other lists, not just his, right. You know. And sometimes we have a bona fide tradition from Torah Shebaal Peh with regards to what the ultimate din is, and the job of Chazal is to try to figure out these dinim are all embedded or hinted to in some level in Torah Shebichtav, and their job is to sort of go back and attribute some of these dinim to Torah Shebichtav. Using the word asmachta is dangerous because the word asmachta is generally evoked methodologically when we're dealing with a din de rabbanon that the Chazal want to pattern after a din do raisa, and they relate to this pasuk as an asmachta that sometimes they'll say, there's a pasuk, but this is an asmachta, and so the pasuk's an asmachta. It's a hint, it's an allusion, and it's a din do rabbanon. Asmachta is not always a din do raisa, but these psulim are not necessarily dine de rabbanon. Things that come down through Torah Sheval Peh are not all dine de rabbanon. There are different types of dine de rabbanon. Some types of mesorah is dine de raisa that are extrapolated through Torah Sheval Peh, and some types of Torah Sheval Peh are takanos, and those are more dine de rabbanon. And they'll say, "Oh, in the kra, there's a pasuk kra asmachta ba'alma." The pasuk's right. Not telling you, but Amiel, you're making a face. You're not happy. Yeah, you've seen it both ways, right? Well, yeah. Right. Correct. But asmachta does not always mean that this is. And here, like that's why we're not called this an asmachta. These are psule d'oraisa for sure.
They are, yeah. But these drushos are very weak drushos.
They could be weak drushos, but
learn it out of here.
Okay. All right. Well, we had some reaction from the from the evaluation, from the evaluation. Yeah.
Possibly more likely that they actually learned out of this pasuk that the solus of the yin is what you use for the
right. I'm hesitant to call it an ismachta because of the other implications, especially when the drushas are weaker. You know what I mean? And clearly the Gemara is introducing here dine d'oraisa.
Well, what's interesting is the way he even responded. He's like, we had a good answer.
Right. You messed it up. Right. Right.
But they're not arguing over that principle, I guess, my bigger point.
Yes.
That
was already, right. Yes.
They're already accepting that.
Correct.
Right. It's just now.
The Gemara does that all the time. Right.
No, I agree.
Correct.
That's a very, hopefully, very short question.
Yeah.
That drush at the top of the page when it says, B'psolas Gordon, is that a play on B'asbecha? Like, how do they get B'solas from that pasuk otherwise?
No, B'asbecha, so Rashi explains that it's when you gather everything that's left at the end, ba'asbecha. It's not just whatever comes out of this process. It's what you gather at the end of the process. That's how Rashi explains the drush.
But you're not good. Gathering the psolas.
You gather it when it's over. You gather together all the everything that's left, so you could do it again, so that you can.
So they're assuming that you're leaving the psolas in the field. You're taking the good stuff in, and then you go back to the field and take in the bad stuff.
No, it's not the psolas in the field. It's from the threshing process. Right. It's after you stomp it out and hit it and do all the things that separate it. It's happening in the goren itself. So Rav Chisda Omar, that this comes from, so in Sefer Nechemiah is trying to get everybody back into Torah and Mitzvos. We know that when the Jewish people came back for the second Beis Hamikdash, right, there was a lot of challenge in terms of everybody, observing Torah and Mitzvos. So he says to them, Se'u Hahar, go to the mountains. Viviu Alei Zayis, bring leaves of olives, or bring olives, Alei Eitz, Shemen, Va'ale Hadas, Va'ale Temarim, Va'ale Eitz Avos. So the Gemara says, Hainu Hadas, Hainu Eitz Avos. This myrtle is the same. Hadas and Eitz Avos are the same. So Amar Rav Chisda, Hadas Shota Lesuka. This Hadas Shota, which basically means it's not a good Hadas. It's like a disfigured or a dysfunctional Hadas. That could be used for the Schach of the Sukkah, because it's Enim Akabal Toma, and it's Kidulo Mina Aretz. The Eitz Avos, and the Pasuk in Eitz Avos, tells you Lilulav. This Pasuk's not from Chumash. This Pasuk's from Sefer Nechemiah. Okay, but that's the din. That's the din that the walls can be made out of anything, as we've learned, but the Schach has to be something that's Gidulo Mina Aretz, that expresses a certain vitality to it. It has to be something that's Enim Kabal Toma. It has to be something that itself does not, as we're going to see actually in the next sugya, it has to be something that itself is not Mekabal Toma, meaning it's not a kli. It's not a functional vessel that you're using for other purposes, but rather it's a standing entity that's able to relate not to our own productivity and our own human ingenuity, but it relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in our life. Not what we are doing, not our own initiative, but that's the schach. The schach is all about the emuna that we have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, and that's why it's Einu Mekabel Tumah. Chavilei Kash. So let's say, says the Mishnah, I have bundles of straw, the chavilei Eitzim, or bundles of wood, the chavilei Zridim, or bundles of some sort of cane. Ein Misachachin Bohem. I can't use them as schach, as bundles, right? I have all these bundles of sticks and different types of things. We're not talking about wood here that could be used for construction, not like bundles of wood like 2x4s, 3x4s, 10x4. I don't know what the by fours are. I just know everything's a by four, right? Right? That's all I know. I don't know what the four is even. But the bottom line is, we're not talking about wood that's used for construction, but pieces of wood that you find. So, a mesachim bohem. The kulon sheitirin ksheris, but all these things that are all gidulom, you know, aretz, and all Einu Mekabel Tumah can be used for schach once they are untied and they are able to be spread out on the sukkah. The kulon ksheros ledefanos, and all of them, even when they're tied up in bundles, are mutter to be used for the walls. So says the Gemara, what is going on here? So the Gemara says the following. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, says Rabbi Yaakov, Shema es mined Rabbi Yochanan. I heard Rabbi Yochanan make a statement, Tarti. He said two things. Chada ha, he said this din that we just learned, says Rashi, the chavilin, my time alone is sachi bahu. So the bundles we can't use for schach. So one, he learned this din, and the other he learned is achotet begodish. If you have like a haystack, right, and you go ahead and you tunnel into the haystack, so lasas lo sukkah, and you're able to basically create essentially a sukkah,
a room
into the stack. So ain't a sukkah. That's not a sukkah. That's not called a sukkah. So chada, and that, so he made these two statements, and regards to one of them, chada mishum gezeras otzer. With regards to one of them, he said it's a gezera of something called otzer. What's the gezeras otzer? The gezeras otzer is, we want you to only use things for a sukkah that were constructed, that the schach is constructed specifically to provide shade, provide what you need, provide shade for the person who's using the sukkah. And otzer, a storage house, is where you create all sorts of roofing, but not for the purpose of providing shade for a person, but for the purpose of storage, in order to protect items for storage.
Like
that's not like a garage. That's not what we use for a sukkah. So even if a garage had a kosher eschach, there's a gezeira called gezeiras otzer. That's what he writes. There's a gezeira called gezeiras otzer. So says the Gemara, va'lo yadana, So one of these cases is problematic because of gezeiras otzer, which is a nisa derabanan, right? It was a gezeira derabanan. And one of them is pasul because of what's called tase velo mina asui, which means you can't create a sukkah sort of like automatically without a proactive investment in the construction of the sukkah. So tase velo mina asui would be like, let's say you build a sukkah under an overhang, and therefore the sukkah is pasul. And then you go ahead and you remove the overhang. So now what? Now your sukkah's kosher? You didn't build a kosher sukkah. You built a pasul sukkah, and then you removed the external psul. That's called tase velo min ha'osui. You have to go ahead in a sukkah like that. What you'd have to do is you have to deconstruct and reconstruct the whole sukkah, but you have to pick up the schach a little bit. You have to do something to the schach a little bit so that you're a mechadish bodavar, so that it takes on the identity of a sukkah. So his tradition was that I heard from Rabbi Yochanan these two statements, and I heard that one of them is a problem because of Tasav Alomina Asui, and the other one is a problem because of, which is a Psul Doraisa, and the other one is a problem because of Gzeres Otser, which is a Psul Dorabon. And I don't know which one is Asur because of Tasav Alomina Asui, and which one is problematic because of Gzeres Otser. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, so Rabbi Yirmiyah steps in, he says, Nachsi Anan. Well, let's look. The Amar Rabbi Chiya Barabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we have another tradition in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Mimnei Ma Amru, Chavilei Kash, Chavilei Eitzin, Chavilei Zardin, Ein Misachachim Bahem. What is the reason why we do not allow these bundles to be used for schach? Because pa'amim sha'adam ba'min ha'sadeh be'erev, because sometimes people come from the sadeh in the evening, v'chavila so al ketefo, and their chavila, their bundle is on their shoulder, umala umenicha agabe sukaso, and they go ahead and they put it on their sukkah, kidei liyavsha, in order for it to dry. And then they will go ahead and they will change their mind to use it for schach. And the Torah says, you have to make the sukkah. And here you used the bundle in order to basically to do something else. You put it there for the purpose of drying it out. And now you decide you want to use it as a sukkah. So now you want to declare that it's a sukkah. But that's tasav alomina asui. So he says, based on the fact that that sometimes happens, we declare in the Mishnah, you can never use bundles at all. Even if you go ahead and you try to use them for something proper. So says the Gemara, that the Gemara then presumes that is the reason for that is because of Gzeiras Otzer. The din derabbanon is, you can't even use the bundles in an appropriate way. Shema, you'll come to use the bundles in a way that is pasul mina Torah of ta'asev alo mina asui. So the Gemara says, what?
What if you cut open the bundle?
So that we learned already, if you cut open the bundle, that's less of a problem. So that's mutter. Midaha mishum gzeiras otzer. So the Gemara now wants to say, well, if you're going to construct that this entire din of the bundles in the Mishnah is all because we're worried about a situation of tasav alomina asui, so we aser all the other things, outs the gezera of gezeras otzer, so that then assigns the statement of Rabbi Yochanan of gezeras otzer to the Mishnah. Hamishum so the Gemara, so and presumably the other one would be because of tasav alomina asui. But the Gemara says, so midah hamishum gzeiras otzer hamishum tasev alomina asui. So that must mean that the other case, the case of the straw, right, where you made your little burrowed sukkah, that's not just a problem of the fact that the roof was made for something else. That's a problem because it's tasev alomina asui. You didn't really construct the roof; you kind of burrowed into it. And mimela, there was some straw on the top. You didn't place straw on the top as schach. There was a big pile. You dug into it. You gave it some reinforcement. Now you have a roof of something that would be kosher. And so now you want to say that this is a sukkah. That's not a sukkah. Tasev alomina also. You didn't make the schach. There was shown him discuss here that presumably if you were to then go ahead and lift that top straw and put it down, that would kasher the sukkah. But that's not the case of the Gemara. So for Rabbi Yaakov, hach to Rabbi Chiya, so then Rabbi Yaakov, who said that when he heard these things from Rabbi Yochanan, he wasn't sure which statement went to which. So what's his problem? It's pasha which statement went to which. We have a tradition that Rabbi Yochanan said that the reason for the bundles is because of gzeiras otzer, because of a case of bundles that's problematic. And the reason for the other one, Mistama is tasav alomina asui. So the Gemara says shmami. So lo shamalei. So it must be that he did not have that tradition that was introduced by Rav Chiya Bar Abba, right? He did not have that tradition that accorded Rabbi Yochanan's original statement of which one is gzeiras otzer to the case of the Mishnah and the tasav alomina asui by implication to the other ones. Now Rav Ashi just introduces a kasha according to Rav Yochanan. So Amar Rav Ashi, Atu chavile kash v'chavile eitzim mishum gzeras otzer ika mishum tasev alomina osoy leka. So he gives voice to what a little probably bothered all of us as we're reading the Shakla Vitaria of the Gemara. And that is that the bottom line is that initial concern of the bundles, it's not like a normal case. Well, like a case on Shabbos. You know, we don't let you ride the horse because you're going to rip the thing. And it's like two separate. You're sort of dealing with a landscape that has multiple possibilities for the use of these bundles. In some of the cases, they're usur because of tasav alomina usurin. And in some of the cases, they're usur because of gzeiras otzer. It's not true that every time you put a bundle up, it's just an apsul derabanan of gzeiras otzer. And as we learn, there are nafkaminas of a sukkah's pasul midarabanan or pasul midoraisa. So what really you should say is, even in that case of the Mishnah, there are scenarios where bundles could be apsul doraisa if they are a case of tasav alomina usui, dahainu. You put the bundle up to dry, and now you want to magically turn it into a sukkah. And there are cases where it is because of gzeras otzer, where you put the bundles up not to dry, but to be used for shade. And we aser that, outs the possibility that you would use it for, you would do the other way. But to say that one of those cases is exclusively in the domain of gzeras otzer and has no relevancy to tasev alomina asoi is a little bit strange. You're sort of artificially extracting only some of the scenarios to categorize it in a particular way. So the Gemara says, Leka, the achotet begadish, the same thing is true with the other case. You're telling me the case of achotet begadish where you burrow into the haystack, mishum ta'asev alomina osu ika, mishum gzeres otzer leka. You're telling me there's no scenario where that also doesn't enter into the challenge of gzeras otzer. Rashi says, Milo matzinen lememar nami, dafilu sasra kol klapi mala v'nena omdim, omrim shaschach, v'chazer v'inichon l'shem sukkah, kapasle masnisa midrabanon, shum gzeras otzer, dizim lomimna. So Rashi says, if you were to, the Gemara makes no mention of what we know to be the case, normally that you're able to lift up the schach and therefore circumvent the problem of tasav alomina asui, because the Gemara does not want you making these sukkahs at all. The Gemara doesn't want you making these sukkahs even when you move the roofing straw and neutralize the problem of tasav alomina asui, because even though you've solved the d'oraisa problem of tasav alomina asui, there's a gzera d'rabbanan that since normally these things are not made for the purpose of a sukkah, therefore, we don't want you to be doing this. Could Rabbi Yochanan, yeah.
Could it be a third option? I'm looking here at Rashi when it says, he says that to begin with, they were moist, that behemoths could eat it. But then when he puts it on the sukkah, they're dry, and they could be meant for firewood.
The chavilos.
So, right. So yeah. Maybe now that they're technically firewood, it's like, you know.
It's got a different purpose.
Exactly. It's like,
yeah. Maybe.
According to you can use it. It's okay.
At the bottom, the right. Circular sukkah.
Sounds like a circular sukkah.
We'll get into the shapes of the. Yeah, we'll get into that. That'll be good.
That's my sukkah.
Your sukkah is a circle?
A hexagon.
I think I remember that. Yeah. So the. So the. What do you call it? So the Gemara says this is a strange resolution, because the resolution seems to kind of be limiting in terms of how it relates to all the different potential issues that could come up in both circumstances. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lecha, Rabbi Yochanan would tell you, Hacha diktani ein mesachachin bahen lechachilahu, the ein mesachim mishum gzeras otzer, hadaraisa shapir dami. Hasam diktani ein asuka, afilu dievi midaraisa nami ein asuka. So the Gemara says, this is how we resolve it. It's a little bit based on the language. The Gemara says these two contexts themselves broadcast that they are relating to different particular circumstances within these scenarios. And they broadcast that because they say one relates to the sukkah as being not a sukkah at all, and one relates to the sukkah as ein mesachachin. Ein mesachachin means ein mesachachin bahen lechatchila. So if you say ein mesachachin bahen lechatchila, right, that's what our Mishnah says. Ein mesachachin. Don't do this. Don't do this means don't do it lechatchila. It means if you did it, there's what to talk about. But don't do this l'chachil. So that sounds like you're talking about a gzeira de rabbanon. And therefore, that's why we attributed that statement of Rabbi Yochanan as referring to the gzeiras otzer, to the case of our Mishnah, because it's talking about a gzeira de rabbanon. That is a gzeira de rabbanon of gzeiras otzer. And therefore, the Mishnah is only referring to those cases where you're trying to use chavilos that are legitimately to be used for sukkah. And we're saying, don't use them for sukkah, a gzeira that you might come to do something well relating to something else. In a chanami, there are scenarios of chavilos that could relate to the psul de oraisa of tasav alomina asoi. That might be true. However, the bottom line is, the Mishnah is only relating to the cases that are derabbanan, and the way you know that is because the language of the Mishnah was very specific. We're referring to the cases of bundles that we are instructing you, ein mesachachin. L'charchila, ein mesachachin. The other case is where we said, ein a sukkah. When we say ein a sukkah, we're not talking about cases where you're trying to dry out the hay or whatever. We're talking about cases where you have constructed a situation that lacks the identity of a sukkah itself, ain't a sukkah. And so we're not talking about scenarios that could evoke gzeiras otzer in that case. We're talking only about scenarios that are related to the psul d'oraisa, afilu d'yevin midoraisa, nami ain't a sukkah. So again, we started with a Mishnah. The Mishnah said that ain't mesachachin with the bundles. Then Rabbi Yochanan came along and said, we said the name of Rabbi Yochanan, I think it was Rabbi Yaakov, came along and said Rabbi Yochanan, then Rabbi Yochanan had two cases. One was the case of our Mishnah, the other was this case of the hay, of this Gaddish. And he went ahead and he said, in one of those cases, it was basically a psul de rabbanon of a gezerah, in one of those cases, it was a psul de oraisa of tasav alomina asoy, that you have to make the sukkah. So the Gemara said, which one was which? I don't know. So the Gemara said, well, I know, because we have another source that says that the case of the chavilos were usher because of something that could happen with chavilos, which is that they could be set up there for drying, and that would end up being an actual psul d'oraisa. So the Gemara said, that sounds like that the real case of the Mishnah is the case of the gzeiras otzer. We're telling you, you can't do something because it might lead to this. That means the other case was the psul d'rabbanon, telling you that you can't do something because of the other case is the psul d'oraisa of tasav alomina. Also, you borrowed your sukkah, but you didn't construct the schach of your sukkah. So then the Gemara said, that's a funny resolution, because in both of these like categories, we could conjure scenarios related to these very constructs that have the other concern as well, in an abstract categorization, right? Because in the case of the bundles, we could construe a case that has a problem of tasav alomina asoi, and in the case of the hay, we could construct a case that has the problem of gzeiras otzer. Maybe the gzeira was not to ever use this kind of sukkah, even in a case where you move the schach as a issa derabanan, as a gzeira derabanan, that you shouldn't come to use the sukkah in a case where you don't do this and you have a real psul d'oraisa. So the Mishnah says, so the Gemara's resolution is very important. The Gemara's resolution is saying, no. We're trying to understand what Rabbi Yochanan's tradition really was. If you look back in the language of these two cases, you will see that these cases were not discussing overarching scenarios that included many different circumstances. They were discussing particular circumstances within these broader scenarios. And that is indicative of the language that is used. Because in one of the cases in the Mishnah, the language that is used is a language that's very lechachila, where the Mishnah says, ein sochachin, it's like a warning, don't do this. That's not how Mishnayos talk when they want to tell you that something has been compromised. It says it's pasul, or it doesn't. It's not a shem sukkah, or it's not a sukkah. It doesn't say, don't do this. Don't do this sounds. Don't do this. I wouldn't do this if I were you. Because you'll violate the Yisod HaRabbanon of Gzeiras Otzer. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan attributes to Gzeiras Otzer. Yeah, there are scenarios with chavilos that could apply to the psul d'oraisa also. And in the other case where it said, ain't a sukkah, so it's not discussing a scenario where maybe you could lift it up, maybe you can't lift it up. It's not focused on that scenario. It's focused very specifically on the scenario where you're not going to lift it up, and you're just going to borrow out your schach, and you're going to live in this sukkah. And the Gemara is telling you, ain't a sukkah, because it's the psul d'oraisa of Tasev velo mina asli. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav. Sachacha bechitzin zicharim kishera b'nekevos pesula. So, the way this works is the Mishnayos have many discussions about different types of kelim. One of the kelim is an arrow, right? An arrowhead. So they made arrowheads. And the arrowheads had to be stuck to the shaft. Is that what it's called? Yeah. I guess, right? So there are two different ways to stick the arrowhead to the shaft. One way to stick the arrowhead to the shaft is to construct basically the arrow in such a way that it has a peg and the shaft has a hole and the peg fits into the hole. The other way to construct the arrow is for the arrowhead to have a hole and the shaft to have a peg, right? And it fits into the hole. The way in which the Mishnayos depict these two different descriptions is that when you're dealing with a kli that there's a base kibul, there's a hole, that's called nekeva. That's called a female. When you're dealing with a kli where the point of connection is a stick, right, is a more phallic symbol. That's the bottom line. That's where the soul comes from, obviously, right? So there, that's called a zachar. Anybody who ever worked in the music business knows that with cables, you call the
male
cable
female
with a hole a female, and you call the cable with the other piece a male. And that's what we do. It's one of the last... No, it's, you feel inappropriate when you're giving people instructions like this. What? But that's what they're called. That's the lingo. So says the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Says Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So sachacha bechitzin. So you have an arrow. You have an arrow that you're using basically the shafts. You want to use them for schach. So you don't have any more arrows. You need to go. You're done with your lag bomer outing, right? And now you want to start, I don't know, building your sukkah. So you want to use the shafts. So says the Gemara, sacha bechitzin zicharim ksheira. If you make them with chitzin zicharim, they're kosher. Why they're kosher? Because there ain't no mekabel tumah. Mm-hmm. Because they don't have a base kibul. There's nothing that can contain anything. It's just a peg. So those could be used. But nekevos, if you have shafts that are constructed as a female construct, so they have a base kibul, they have something that could hold something, so that's psula. Zicharim ksheira pshita, says the Gemara, that's pashit. Mao detema nigzer zicharim matu nekevos. So says the Gemara, no, I might have thought that you can't use zicharim that have just pegs, even though they're enemakabal tuma, as a gzera, that you shouldn't come to use nekevos that do have holes and that are mekabel tuma. Kamash milan, you could use the zicharim anyway. B'nekevos psula pshita. So of course the nekevos psula. They have a base kibul. They can contain something. So mao detema base kibul ha'osei lemilos lo shmei kibul. I might think that when is a base kibul? Base kibul means that the container can be mekabel something. This cup has a base kibul. This bottle has a base kibul, right? This book may be a vessel of some sort. It does not have a base kibul. It does not contain anything. So says the Gemara, it could be that you might have thought that if a base kibul is constructed solely for the purpose of connectivity, not for the purpose of really hosting another item, but solely for the purpose of being connected to something else, that maybe that's not really called a kli. That's not really called a base kibul.
Let's talk about realistic today. When we put a schach, some people would use a screw, so they would use the screw from the bottom, not from the top, because from the top it has a base kibul, which is made for connectivity. The screwdriver fits into that groove.
The groove of a screw?
Yeah. Is that a base kibul or not?
No, but the screw has a different problem, which is that it is makabel because it's mateches. Yeah, and it's a kli. So the screw, whether or not you could use the screw to put in the schach, I don't think we've hit yet.
Mm-hmm.
But that depends on how you deal with a din called maimid. How you deal with a din called maimid. What what supports the schach. For sure, you can't use metal as schach.
Right.
But the question, that's for sure, everybody agrees with that. But the question is, can you use something that's makabel tuma to
hold ground it,
to be maimed, to support it? The first question is supporting it. And then even if you could use something that's makabel tuma to support, can you use something that's makabel tuma to support that? A maimed de maimed.
Mm-hmm.
And this becomes the big question. Zip ties. We had this shaila this year. So Amar Rabbi Bar Bar Chan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sachcha Banitze. So now they get into, can you use flax? So this is a very technical discussion about the process of flax, making flax. Flax is used to make linen thread, and the way basically flax grows in the ground, and they cut it from the ground, and they soak it, and then they beat it, and so that the shells that are the shelling or whatever that's around the more softer part falls away. And then they're left with something that's a little more stringy. And then there's a tremendous amount of combing that goes on. They comb it on like steel combs, and that pulls out more of the impurities. It also pulls out more of the shorter hairs because you want to make thread out of longer flax. And then ultimately it's spun into thread. So obviously once it becomes thread, so now it's a kli. Now it's used for makabel tum. But at a certain point, it's kedulim in aret. So at what point in the flax making process do you cross the line of it now becoming in its production process no longer acceptable for the purpose of schach? So 1 second. Sacha ba nitze pishtan psula. If you make schach with combed flax, so that's already considered pasul. Beotzane pishtan kshera. But if it's like unprocessed flax, then it's kosher. Beoshanein, if it's partially processed pishtan, any odeya. I don't know. So malvo shani atzman any odeya. What does that mean? What don't you know? Manav shach, I don't know. Idayek velo nafitz hoshani. I don't know if you beat it, but you didn't comb it, that it's considered like partial karilei, aval tari, but if you soak it, below daik, but you haven't let binit hotsani, then it's called already in the earlier process, karilei, odilma, tari, below daik, nami, oshani, karilei. So I don't know how to view the stages of the flax if you've already basically, I don't know how to view the period of time between the beating of the flax and the combing of the flax, you know, to what degree that combing is what really is machshir it into something that could be used for a beged, that's makabel tuma, or whether or not it's not. And that's what Rashi says. So at certain stages of development, things could be roi l'tuma for different types of things. So this already could be mitama b'negoyim. And he quotes, after you comb it, after you do with the comb, that's when it becomes mitama b'negoyim. And okay, very good.
It's obviously like a thread is not clean. So is it a different reason that it would be makabel tuma?
It becomes something functional that can turn into a kli.
Right. Right.
Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. You're going to use this to make garments. You're going to use this to make. You know. Okay.